Everybody out today. It's been a great day. Look forward to God continuing to work in our hearts through His Word here. A couple weeks ago, we discussed Matthew chapter 24. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew. We're going to be looking at chapter 25 this morning as we continue in our study through the book. Matthew 24 pointed out the signs of the times. The take-home thought was prepare for Jesus' soon return. Jesus is coming soon. Amen? Amen. He could come at any time. And this morning, we come to Matthew chapter 25, where you find that Jesus is still speaking of His imminent return, the fact that He could come at any moment. A couple weeks ago, our granddaughter, Lindsay, was told that her aunt was coming to visit. And she got so excited that several times through the day, she would go to the back patio glass doors and say, "I think she's coming soon. I'm going to go watch for her." Well, it was explained to her, no, she's not coming today. She's going to come in a little while, but she's coming. She wants to come and visit. But even knowing that, she would go to the back door later on in the day. "I think she's almost here. I'm going to go watch for her." Well, that was a couple weeks ago. She's actually coming today. But she was full of anticipation because she was convinced that her aunt could come at any moment. That's the kind of anticipation we need to have in looking for the soon return of Christ. As we look at Matthew chapter 25, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 13 here today. Jesus is speaking. He's continuing talking about His imminent return. He said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Here's our take-home thought today, and that is, watch for Jesus' soon return. Just simply watch for His soon return. The point being, don't ignore the signs. The signs are evident. We say, yeah, we can see them. You see the signs in the world affairs and politics. I see those. You see the signs in natural events, volcanoes and earthquakes, You see the signs in sinful behavior and moral degradation all around us. Yeah, I know, but I have to go shopping for oil. No, the point here that Jesus is saying is be prepared, yes, and watch. Be ready, but also watch. I've told you that some of my most anxious moments are heading to the airport and getting through security. Part of the whole process, of course, is preparing for the trip, right? You know, that's no problem. I can pack days in advance. You know, if I know a trip's coming up, man, I'm packed, I'm ready to go. But it's another thought to be watchful. Let's say that I've asked my dad to pick me up and take me to the airport. Now, at our house, we live right here back behind the church. It's very difficult to see if someone pulls into the quote-unquote driveway. And so, there's no windows that show the back of the garage there, so I don't know when someone pulls up. So, oftentimes, in this a situation like, Dad, would you pick me up and take me to the airport? What I'll do is I'll open the garage door. I'll open the garage, the door going into the house from the garage, and I will pace. I'll come out and I'll look. I'll wait because they could come from, he could come from any one of several different directions in order to get to the back of our house. I pace and watch with anticipation. Again, that's the kind of watching we have here. Now, as we look at this, this is a parable. You shouldn't get caught up in all the intricate details of the story. Jesus taught parables so as to make a point. And the story of the parable is the vehicle through which Jesus makes his point, or through which the point is made. And so a parable is a true life or true to life story to which most people could relate. And in this context, he's talking about a wedding. And in that culture, they would all listen to what Jesus was saying, and they could relate to what Jesus was saying here because they've been to weddings, just like you and I have been to weddings. In this case, it's a story of 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom for a feast, or the wedding feast. And in the Hebrew wedding tradition, it began with the engagement in which the father of the bride and father of the groom got together and they prearranged the marriage. Could you imagine that? You may not even know the woman, and it's arranged. You know, our families know each other, or whatever. But you may not even know, but dads make the arrangements in that culture. And the bride and groom have little say in the matter. The next phase of the marriage tradition is the betrothal period, during which the bride and groom gather together with a small group of family, maybe a few friends, and they exchange vows, but they don't live together yet. They are considered married in that culture because if you think back to Mary and Joseph, they did not come together, but they were betrothed. And it actually would take a divorce. He said Joseph thought about divorcing his wife Mary quietly. Hadn't been together yet. Hadn't lived together yet. They were considered married. That's the betrothal period. And it could last anywhere from a month to a full year because the husband, what he would do is he would go out and he would either get an occupation or a career, get established in a business, so as to make sure he could support his wife and his family, his household. The next phase would be the wedding feast at which the groom and the groomsmen would arrive at the bride's house where the bride was waiting along with her bridesmaids for the groom. The bride and groom, along with the wedding party, would then parade through the streets with lamps, or what we would probably call torches, announcing the beginning of the celebration while they proceeded to the home of the groom, went to the bride's house, picked her up, and would parade through the streets with a lot of celebration invite the community. It was a community event. Come to the feast. And then they would arrive at the groom's house. The last phase then would be at the end of the feast, and it could last from a couple days to a full week. The equivalent to our best man would place the bride and groom's hands together, and then the guests would leave and they would be alone for the first time. That was the wedding tradition. And in this context, this parable of which Jesus uses as an illustration of his soon coming, but of uncertain timing of his return, the 10 virgins were the bridesmaids of the event, waiting for the groom to come to pick up the bride along with the bridesmaids so as to make the procession to the feast. In verse 1. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. They're waiting. Verse 2 points out, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. They came prepared just in case. It took a while. And they were all waiting, but only half of them were prepared. Look at verse 5. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. They fell asleep. Verse 6, at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom! Come out and meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. He's on his way. Here he comes. They were all prepared by trimming their lamps. They got them ready. They got everything all ready. He's coming. He's almost here. Verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with those with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. The foolish were not prepared sufficiently to watch and to greet the bridegroom. They got distracted. They missed out. So let's look at some thoughts here in light of watch for the soon coming of the Lord. The first thought is to be prepared, yes, but watchful too. Prepared, yes, but watchful too. It's one thing to pack, to have all the stuff packed and ready to go, but it's quite another to be ready to go, to anticipate, to watch. And many Jews, particularly the Pharisees, had all the right stuff. They knew the Bible. They went to church every Sunday. But they were not ready to meet the Lord. Watchfulness is a matter of being ready at a moment's notice. You don't have to say, wait a minute, I forgot something. No. As soon as Dad pulls up, we're gone, you see. The watchful heart is ready for Jesus to return. There's not something out of order in your life. There's not a, I know, but. Have you ever heard that, or have you ever said that? I know what the Bible says, but. I'm going to go ahead and do what I want to do anyway. It's not enough to merely know what God says. He desires you to put it into practice. James 1:22, you can jot that down. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Don't be just a hearer of the word. Don't just listen to what's being said today or any other time when you're teaching or reading the Bible. Put it into practice. Do what it says. To attend church and think that that makes you okay is a matter of deceiving yourselves. There are people, maybe there's some here today, who say, well, I went to church on Sunday. Well, you know, what more do you want? I'm religious. I'm a Christian, you know. If that's your mentality, I went to church, you're deceiving yourself. What you must do is not only hear the Word, study the Word, and read the Word, but take it and live it out. Apply it to your life. God has blessed us by giving us His Word to live by. We talked about this a little bit in Men of Faith yesterday. So often, you know, we think, sometimes people think, even Christians think, oh, man, you know, I gotta work to live this Christian life. And there are times when it does take effort. It takes discipline and all. But did you ever think about this? In Genesis chapter 1, God says that He created man and woman in His image. And upon creation, Genesis chapter 1, He says to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What is that? It's a command. And He was telling them, the way to blessing is to do this, to obey God. And we tend to think that the things that God asks us to do is, I got to do this, or I got to live right, or I got to, whatever it is, I got to do. No, the way to God's blessing, he also told them, He said, listen, you are free to eat of all the trees in the garden. Man, look at all these trees. And they're like, man, there's apples, there's oranges, there's plums, there's all of this good stuff. We can eat all the fruit of the garden, God says, but just this one over here, don't eat that. And we tend to think, wow, you know, Yeah, but God, He's not fair. He doesn't let us eat what we want to eat. Really? And God says the way to blessing is to obey His commands. We tend to want to think beyond the parameters of His commands and think about what we're missing. No. God has blessed us by saying, here's how you receive the blessings of God. Here's how you live freely, is to live according to His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. And these are commands that He gave before the fall. You see, when you merely hear God's word and you don't do what it says, you are deceiving yourselves into thinking that, hey, you know, I want to be able to do what I want to do. I'm okay. I'll do this, what God asks me to do, but I'll be okay. You're deceived. And the five foolish bridesmaids deceived themselves by thinking that they were prepared when they were not. Here's a second thought. Don't get distracted from that which is most important. Don't get distracted from that which is most important. What's most important? The bridegroom is coming. Don't get distracted from your relationship with the bridegroom. Don't get distracted from your relationship with God. Your relationship with the Lord. Interestingly, the foolish gave the semblance of being prepared, but in reality they were not. They came across, the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, they came across like, hey, yeah, we got our act together. You know, we're good. You know, again, we do all the right things and we check all the religious boxes. But verse 10 says, and while they were going to buy, oh yeah, there's one more thing. We got to go shopping. While they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him and to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. They were, in actuality, unprepared. Why? Because they were distracted. I have to go shopping! And they missed out. This goes back to the hypocrisy which Jesus rebuked sharply, the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders of the day. They gave the impression of godliness, even lip service, that they know Jesus. And many even today say, yeah, I know Jesus. Yeah, I know He's coming soon. But many are in reality unprepared because they're distracted by the things of this world. An undue focus on self and our own activities, our own desires, distracts us from that which is most important. And if you do that, you will miss out on the most important, and that is the relationship with the bridegroom. There are many who say, Lord, Lord, who do not really have a relationship with Him. Jesus talks about this often, doesn't He? In fact, That phrase there comes out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. They're just lip service. Hey, I prayed a prayer and I'm good. Matthew 22, just you're here in chapter 25. Turn back just a few chapters. You remember just a few weeks ago we talked about this passage. This, again, he's talking about the banquet. But when the king came in to look, Matthew chapter 22, verses 11 to 14, but when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. He said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? He was speechless. What garment is he talking about? He's talking about being clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Not having our own righteousness. Our own righteousness is what? Filthy rags. This guy came in and he did not have the righteousness of Christ. He did not have the wedding garment. He was speechless, and the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Folks, this is serious stuff. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Jesus says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he has cleansed as he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Are you sure of your calling and election? Are you sure of your relationship with God? That's what he's talking about. Or are you distracted? Are you distracted from your relationship with God? Are you allowing the cares of this world, all the activities surrounding you, to pull you away from your relationship with the Lord? All the activities. It could be a relationship, a relationship other than your relationship with the Lord. There have been many individuals who have been pulled away from God by the relationship with an ungodly spouse. Or an ungodly individual, rather. boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. And I just encourage you, if you are in looking for relationships that push you toward the Lord, not ones that are going to pull you away. It could be another relationship other than the Lord. It could be work. There are some here probably who are workaholics. You neglect so many other things, including your relationship with God, because you got to work. You got to work. It could be other responsibilities. It could be a hobby. Things that hinder your relationship with God. And if it hinders your relationship with God, then it is an idol. You are bowing down and worshiping that instead of God, putting Him as first place in your life. And that calls for confession and repentance. Failing to make time with God, reading, studying His Word, praying, talking with Him, growing in your relationship with Him. Don't allow these other things to become distractions, or you'll be like the five virgins who were foolish. About 4 years ago, Teresa and I went up to Alaska with a friend, Wayne and Sandy Evenden, who are They were here and just recently moved back to Alaska. But we were up there with them on a vacation trip. And we were getting ready to head back. And we were packed, and the flights that we got were late night, early morning, really. They were to leave about 1:30 in the morning. So we weren't far from the airport. We were staying at Wayne's daughter's house, and we were just kind of waiting. And we were watching TV. And said, oh, well, we better get ready to go. So we got everything and we took off, got to the airport. Only took about 10 minutes to get there. Get to the airport. We walk up to the gate with our luggage, getting ready to check our luggage in. They go, oh, my, you've missed your plane. And we're like, what? You've got to be kidding. No, you missed your plane. We look at our tickets and it was like, oh, no, we had misread the time. Not only, I mean, maybe that's why I have such anxiety getting through, you know, security and all that, because I don't want to miss the flight again, because it costs us dearly. And we had to buy a whole other ticket for each of us to get home. They didn't transfer. And it's like, oh, you've got to be kidding. We missed the flight. You don't want to be distracted. We were distracted watching television. We could have been there 5 hours earlier if we needed to be. We were distracted. We missed the flight. You don't want to be distracted from the coming of the Lord. Be prepared. Verse 10, Matthew 25:10. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Well, here's another thought. And that is, be encouraged. The watchful are blessed. That's a good place for an amen. The watchful are blessed. What a blessing for those who were prepared and watchful.
they were able to enter with the bridegroom along with the others who had been prepared and watchful. How much better to be prepared and watchful, waiting with anticipation for the coming of the Lord. Look how they were blessed. They gained entrance to the feast. Come on in. They were welcomed to the feast. It wasn't like, you know, you got your ticket. You know, no, they were, come on in. You're prepared. You're ready. You've been watchful. Come on in. And they were secure in their relationship. How do I know that? Well, look at verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. The ones who were welcomed were secure in their relationship with the bridegroom. And they gained entrance. Matthew 25:13. Watch, therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour. You see, the watchful are so through faithfulness. In other words, the watchful are watchful by being faithful. We're going to have more on that next week. But I do have some suggestions on how to be watchful. We'll talk about being ready, but how do you be watchful? Well, here's the first suggestion. That is, live to the glory of God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Live to the glory of God. I'm going to teach you a poem, all right? I want you to learn this poem. I'm going to quote it a time or two, and I want you to learn this and keep it with you, okay? All right, here it is. Two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. All right, you got it? It's pretty easy. All right, I'm going to say it again, and then I want you to say it with me. Two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. All right, now you say it. Two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Now you say it without me. Can you say it with a little more exuberance? There are people who are going to listen to this online, and they're going to say, man, those people are like, oh, my goodness. All right, here we go. Say it again. All right. Live to the glory of God. You've got two choices. All right? Here's another suggestion. That is, live authentically. Be the same at home, at work, at school, in the neighborhood, when you're playing or working around the yard. Be the same with your relatives and family as you are here. You know, we come to church and we put our holy halos on Sunday mornings. We get them polished up and everything. And you get out. You may have the argument on the way here, and it's just like, you know. And then you get here, it's like, hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, I'm doing great, you know. And we have, you know, we're all good here. You know what? Be that same way at home. Live in such a way that your relationship with Jesus is not subject to question. Don't be a hypocrite. That's what Jesus was going after here, hypocrisy. We all tend to think we're ready, but are you? Be genuine. Be authentic. Live with integrity. Be hot for God, not lukewarm. So that it's real. And your relationship with God is vibrant. It's alive. It's true. Here's another one. And that's live in purity. There is so much out there to distract us. So much sensuality out there. Whether it's television or the internet or, you know, there's all this. Satan's out there going, yoo-hoo, look at this, you know. And it's like, really? And when you're chasing after lust, you are not being watchful. Think about the fact that he could come at any moment. And if you are choosing to do something that doesn't please him, to bring glory to him, and you are distracted, he could come at that moment. Would you want to be caught doing whatever that is when he returns? Think about that. That's a good arresting thought, right? Like, man, I don't want to do that. Because if you really believe you could come at any moment, then you're going to be watchful by living pure, a pure life. Here's another one. And that's live with a servant's heart. with an eye on serving others, ministering to others. I want to encourage you to realize that life is not about you. We are most fulfilled when we are serving others, serving one another. And it takes initiative to do that. And a good place to start is at home. Yeah, here, yes, I'll get to that in a moment. But husbands, set the pace, serving, leading by serving in the home. Serve your wife. Serve your children. And set the pace by doing that. You're most fulfilled when you do that. As well as, how about at work? Do you ever think about being the guy that's known at work for going the extra mile? Not the one that just skids by, but the one that goes the extra mile, that's very helpful and encouraging to others, that has a positive attitude, not the grump at work who, you know, it's obvious he doesn't like to work here. No, you know, be positive. Be a blessing to others, even at work. You don't have to go around work saying, oh, praise Jesus all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, hey, how's it going? Hey, can I give you a hand? Having a good attitude at work. And then serving here through the ministry. I'll tell you what, our shut-ins were so blessed over Valentine's Day because we had kids make Valentines for our shut-ins. We had life groups make Valentines and actually visit our shut-ins. And even still, we are getting comments back, phone calls or notes from our shut-ins saying thank you for those who remembered us over Valentine's Day. What a ministry. And let's not just wait till next Valentine's. I mean, our shut-ins are, could you imagine that? Just by yourself all the time. They need encouragement. What an opportunity to minister and serve. We also have, of course, have our programs. We have staffing needs. We have teaching needs. Think about opportunities to serve. We have then people who serve in the community. We have a team that teaches what's called Truth Seekers down at the Lincoln Community Center. Every Tuesday, they get together with a bunch of kids and they teach about Jesus. I mean, what an opportunity. So opportunities abound to serve. And just have that mindset of living a servant's heart. Be known as the one in the neighborhood who's willing to reach out and go the extra mile. Here's another suggestion, and that is live as though you could be in Jesus' presence today. Live as though Jesus could come at any moment, and I'm expecting Him. I'm looking forward to His coming with anticipation. Do you really look forward to Jesus coming, or do you really want Him to hold off for a while? Now you think about it, and when Jesus does come back, and He is going to come back, there will be people at all stages of life when He returns. There are going to be those that, man, I can't wait to graduate. You know, God, I just pray Jesus doesn't come until after I graduate, you know. Well, maybe some of you want Him to come before graduation. But then, hey, I'm getting married next week. I hope Jesus doesn't come until after I get married. I really want to get married, you know. I hope He waits. Or we're going to have a baby. I just want to see what the baby looks like before Jesus comes back. Or that new job, you know, I'm really looking forward to this move we're going to move. Or maybe retirement. I want to enjoy retirement, you know. People are going to be at all stages. So think about that. In light of whatever life stage you are in, are you looking forward with anticipation to the fact that Jesus could come at any moment? Because He could. And it's a change in our mindsets. Looking forward with great anticipation to His soon return, regardless of the circumstance in which you find yourselves. Now, here's one last one. I should have caught the guys on the computer to have them put this down, because I got to thinking about this in my study here the last few days. And I thought, you know what? I think this is one that we all need. I know I need this one. And that is, enjoy your relationship with God. To seek to commune with God. You know, isn't that why we come to church? You know, we come to church to encourage one another and to fellowship with one another. But we are here. We come to meet God. Do you look forward to meeting with God when you come to church? Well, I tell you, that's going to change the way you sing. It's going to change the way you listen to the message. Because it's through His Word that we meet with Him. As we come together and it's through His Word that He speaks to us. Do you look forward to your time with the Lord throughout the week? And I'm just here to tell you that I need to grow in that area. You can ask my wife. I am very goal-oriented. I'll tell you what, if I say I'm going to read through the Bible in a year, I am going to get her done. I mean, I will, if I get behind, man, I'm going to stay up late, get up earlier, whatever it takes to get through the Bible in a year, because that's what I committed to do. And sometimes I think, sometimes I know I miss the blessing of just meeting with God. To just bask in His presence, knowing that He's there with me. And I'm ashamed to say that. You know, I'm a pastor. You know, that's what pastors do. You know, we were just talking about this in the office. Pastors get paid to study the Word. You know, it's like, man, how much better could life get? You know. But to think, how many times have I said, I got to get this message done because I'm preaching Sunday? As opposed to what does God want for me? How does He want to speak to me? And then, and not just to put it into practice, but to enjoy hearing from Him through His Word. I just want to encourage you. Don't look at your relationship with God as just something else on the list I got to do. But that you are in His presence every moment of every day, and you can turn to Him, and you can pray to Him, and you can commune with Him throughout the day, every day. And then when you sit down to read His Word or to listen to His Word, it's like, yes, thank you. Thank you, God, for all that I have in You. Don't miss on that. Don't miss out on that. I think that is an awesome way to be watchful. Because when you have that relationship with God, you're going to anticipate. You're going to look forward to His coming with anticipation, just like little Lindsay. She would say, oh, I think she's coming. Speaking of her aunt, I think she's coming. I think she's going to be here soon. So I'm going to go to the back door and I'm going to watch. If we had that attitude, I think Jesus is coming soon. I'm going to watch. It's going to change the way we live, isn't it? It's going to change the way we interact with one another. It's going to change our relationship with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may these truths change the view of our relationship with You. Father, that we would look forward to that day when You will come to take us to be with You. Father, I confess that there are times where I just get caught up in the routine of life and get distracted and I don't stay watchful. I don't enjoy my communion with You like I ought. And so, Father, I pray that You would work in my heart, work in all of our hearts, Father, that we would be in tune with all that You have for us through Your Word here today. And that we would truly go from here saying, yes, I am ready, and I want to continue to be ready. Avoid getting distracted by the things of this life and choose the two choices on the shelf to live to please You, because there's blessing in that. And that's what You delight in. We're to delight ourselves in the Lord. May we do that. To please You and not please ourselves. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just encourage you with that thought here this morning. Just say, you know what, that's to make that commitment. I've been distracted. Maybe there's someone here that say, you're not ready. You say, I'm not ready because I don't know the Lord as Savior. I'm not sure. I'm on my way to heaven. We want you to be sure. God wants you to be sure. He wants you to know Him and have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, who died and buried and rose again. He wants that with you. He wants that for you. There may be others, there may be Christians who say, you know what? I know Jesus, but I'm distracted. I just go through the motions, or I get lured astray, or I don't enjoy my relationship with God as I know I should. Whatever the case may be, I just encourage you to take a connection card from the pew in front of you or off of your worship folder there. Fill that out and put a note on there. Pray for me. And if you want to be specific, be specific. If it's something personal, private, check for pastors only. We'll be praying for you. We can be praying for one another. But let's not go from here unchanged. Let's go from here changed. Let's go from here committed to being watchful and ready to the glory of God.